Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of the Tuesday Night Comics podcast. I'm Billy, and with me is my co-host Dave.
How you guys doing?
And we are going to talk about new comics that are coming out this Wednesday. That's Wednesday, February 26th, 2014. We're previewing some books that we think look pretty cool. Dave, what caught your eye that's coming out this week?
I am super excited for the Batman Superman and World's Finest crossover. The Batman Superman issue was supposed to come out like a few weeks ago, but I guess probably art delays have pushed that back, and now that crossover is starting, and we're getting a double shot in 1 week. We're getting Batman Superman and World's Finest all in one shot, so part one and two are coming out all this week.
Oh, awesome. And this will be Huntress's first meeting with Batman? Or has that happened already?
Yeah, technically first meeting. She's kind of, he's seen her in the sides. She had more of an interaction with Damian right before.
Right before he was killed, right?
So yeah, so it should be interesting to see his reaction to, you know, his other Earth's daughter. I think both Paul Levitz and Greg Pak have said that we're going to see some interesting flirtations going on because they're all the same age as opposed to the Batman and Superman of Earth 2, who are much older because their cousin and daughter are in their 20s, and Power Girl kind of finds Batman a little hot, and that's kind of weird because that's Huntress's pseudo dad.
Yeah, that is kind of weird. That's funny. Yeah.
So I guess they're going to be playing that for laughs a little bit. So I think it should be a good. I think it's like 4 or 5 part story.
And am I looking at this cover right? Has Power Girl returned to her classic costume?
Yeah, she returned to her classic costume. Oh, like maybe like 6 months into the New 52.
Oh, really?
Because everybody hated that new.
Yeah, that white jumpsuit they put her in was just terrible.
Yeah, it was a bummer because I really liked the Supergirl outfit she had in Earth 2. I thought I even liked that better than the Supergirl outfit that the regular Earth Supergirl has on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, same with Superman. I like those. I think Superman was designed mostly by Nicola Scott, and the Supergirl was designed, I think, by Kevin Maguire mostly.
Okay.
And, I dig them a lot, and I don't like the Supergirl of the New 52's new costume because it looks like a diaper, weird underwear thing. I don't know.
I actually like Carrot. Yeah, I like Supergirl's New 52 costume. I think the cutaway knees are cool. I thought it was a cool design, but I definitely see what you're saying.
Yeah, I like the boots. I'll give you that. I like the boots. I don't like the like Superman S on her crotch. I don't know. It's an oddly sexualized place to put that S.
That is a good point. And coming out from Marvel, James Robinson's Fantastic Four is coming out this week.
Oh yeah, I'm psyched to pick that up.
Yeah,
what do you think about the new costumes?
Not a fan. When I think Fantastic Four, I think blue and white costumes, not red and white costumes.
Yeah, you know what? I loved the costumes designs when I saw them in black and white. I saw them in black and white first, and then I saw them color, and I was like, red? I was like, I mean, maybe there's some story element to that, but yeah, I didn't really care for it. I like the blue, and I even like their Future Foundation outfits where they're all in white and just like some black lines. I think those are awesome. But yeah, red just doesn't say Fantastic Four to me.
Yeah, I agree. It just looks weird. And I agree, when I saw the designs in black and white, I thought they looked great. But seeing it in red, I just don't get it. It just seems like an unnecessary change. And also the Thing, orange and red, just doesn't look as cool as orange and blue does.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'm saying that as a Mets fan, I don't know.
Yeah. And the Thing is like a yellowy orange, so like, I don't know, he just, he'll look too much like Johnny Storm then, you know? Like, there's not right. enough color variation there, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. I did think it was cool when Johnny Storm was had a like a red and white costume underneath his human torch. I thought that was a cool distinction for him.
And yeah.
He didn't have that often, but I thought that was cool when they did that.
And Hawkeye number 15 is coming out, and I believe that's the after number 16 came out a couple weeks ago, right?
That is true. It went 14, 16, 15. And the reason they're doing that, I believe it was delays with the art, and you can actually read these out of order because the even number issues are following Kate Bishop, the female Hawkeye, and in Los Angeles, and the odd number issues are following Clint Barton, the male Hawkeye, in New York City. So instead of holding up the whole series, they released them out of order. I thought it was a little weird, but I wasn't going to complain because it was a great issue that came out.
Yeah, you know, like, sometimes the upsetment with delays, it doesn't make sense to me because you think about, like, I think Watchmen was delayed a bunch
of
art issues, and nobody now goes, man, Watchmen was really, really messed up because they delayed it by a week or a month or I don't know. I was five at the time, but point being is, you know, I read it and it didn't affect me at all.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, especially now that we've moved towards collecting things in trades and hardcovers after they get printed, there's less of a demand to, you know, bring in a fill-in artist and have a lesser quality book on the stand.
Yeah,
you know, because these books just stay in print now. So you want to put out your best product that you can.
I remember way back during Infinite Crisis, Phil Jimenez. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah.
He was the artist on that, and he, I guess, ran behind, and they ended up putting this really crappy fill-in artist on the last issue to finish it out, and it was just awful, like the last three pages. And then in trade, they had Phil's stuff in there, and, I mean, it read so much better.
Yeah, the same thing happened with Final Crisis, too, where I think for the last issue, it was almost like a jam issue. I know Doug Monke came on to finish out the series, and then but I think he had a few different inkers.
Yeah, well, it was initially the whole series was supposed to be who's that painter guy who did Wanted? I'm blanking on
it. Is that J.G. Jones?
Yeah, he was supposed to do this whole series, but he fell behind, and Doug Monke picked it up. And I remember Grant Morrison saying that he kind of liked it because Final Crisis was about, like, that dark reality of DC Comics that had been, you know, ushered in the early 2000s, shedding that and becoming this, you know, bright and hopeful place again with Captain Carrot and his zoo crew and, you know, Superman singing Darkseid to death. And, you know, just, you know, probably only the stuff that Grant Morrison can make cool.
Yeah. Well, Monkey's my second favorite artist at DC, so I was more than happy for him to take over that comic. I just think he's great.
Yeah, he's a great artist. Unstoppable.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I've said it before on this podcast, you know, if he and Ivan Reis could draw every DC comic, I'd be all for that. Now, let's see. Look, what else do we have coming out? On Image Comics, Rick Remender's, what is it? Deadly Class number 2 is coming out. Deadly Class number 1 was really cool. They're also releasing a second printing of Deadly Class number 1. So if anybody missed Deadly Class number 1, they should definitely pick up both these issues on Wednesday. It's almost like it's an interesting story. And there's a twist ending to the end of the first issue, so I don't want to spoil anything. But it looks like it's going to be a very cool story about, like, a very weird school.
Hmm.
Yeah. Almost like a more badass Hogwarts.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And Walking Dead 122 also comes out.
Yes, and that's All Out War is continuing. This storyline has just been absolutely great. You know, it's their 10th anniversary, so I think Walking Dead's coming out every 2 or 3 weeks, and it's just, this All Out War storyline has just been fantastic. I thought it was going to be like very one-sided, and I didn't understand how it was going to be a 12-part storyline, but man, Robert Kirkman is just throwing curveballs left and right.
Peter Panzerfaust, Volume 3, is also coming out. I think I'm going to read a couple of these trades. They're supposed to, the BBC has picked this series up for a television program.
Yeah, it's a cool series. I read the first, I think, 6 issues of it and then just kind of fell off.
Yeah.
And yeah, BBC was in talks for a while with, like, right after the comic came out, it seemed like they were in talks with the BBC to make it into a show.
They're like, this is right up our Sherlock alley.
Pretty much, yeah. And for anyone who doesn't know what it is, it's basically Peter Pan and the Lost Boys in World War II, fighting for the Allies.
Obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter Pan wouldn't fight for Hitler.
Yeah, unless he was being tricked, you know.
True.
Yeah.
I saw Monuments Men this weekend.
Oh, how'd you like it? I haven't seen
it. I liked it. It was a fun movie.
It looks really cool. It's getting some really bad reviews, and I think it's got like a 14 on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that, or like 30.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like the best movie I've ever seen. It was good, and it had a lot of light points, and I laughed a lot through it. I mean, it was also sad at some points, but it was really like a good movie and a hopeful movie almost in how it came across, especially for being a World War II movie.
Right. Yeah, I think it looks really cool. And the cast, you can't get a better cast than what you have in Monuments Men.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you didn't have that cast, the script probably isn't the best script in the world, but you know,
okay.
the actors definitely service it really well to make it a much better movie than it would have been without those great actors.
Okay, yeah, I definitely want to see it. I plan on catching it soon. And also coming out from Image, just going back to comics for a second, Black Science number 4 is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Rick Remender's other new Image series, which has been very, very cool. That's the one I think I just described as kind of being like the TV show Sliders.
Yes, you did. You did.
Yeah. Now, did you end up reading She-Hulk?
I didn't, but I read your other recommendation, Ms. Marvel.
Okay, what did you think of it?
I loved it. I thought it was great. And I am so tempted to pick up the next issue.
It's excellent. I thought the art was like really cool and different. The writing is great. Like those characters just all seem distinct and individual. I can't wait for the second issue.
Yeah, it's expressive. I love little nods to things like the one character works at a convenience store and he hands his shift over to Chatty Bob.
Yeah, yeah. I love that the character's name is Chatty Bob. I thought that was super cool.
Yeah, I guess Chatty Bob lives in North Jersey.
let's see. And I'm trying to think what else I read this week. Oh, I picked up the new issue of Justice League that has the Metal Men in it. I actually didn't finish it. I was reading it right before we recorded this today. And it's really cool. It's a good issue. I'm only halfway through it.
I'm excited. I think I mentioned on the podcast before that all of the Forever Evil stuff I've and most of the Justice League stuff I've been waiting for the price to drop on Comixology, then purchasing it, but I've been holding off to read in a chunk. So
right.
It's kind of winding to a close, and I kind of got excited for it, so I decided to read all of the Justice League comics since the start of the New 52. So I'm about 5 issues in on all three series so far. I'm reading them in publication order. So I'm reading Justice League International, and Justice League Dark right now.
Interesting. What are your thoughts on them?
As far as they go, like, I understand why Justice League International was canceled. As far as the story is concerned in that book, you know, it's very similar to Justice League of America, you know, government-funded Justice League team, right, that might not be as good as the Justice League, but Geoff Johns just did it way better with Justice League of America. And Justice League Dark is very good. I definitely, it feels way more depressing than Lemire's Justice League Dark, which has this like good dark sense of humor to it.
Right.
That in the beginning, and it's a pretty good, it's a good read. It's very different, and it feels way more Vertigo-like than Justice League Dark does now.
Oh, really?
Justice League itself, I found very quick reads. Like, and I found that same thing back then, but what I am finding interesting now, which I didn't so much back then, is the back matter in the Justice League books, like the page or two of like a book that was written, or files on Star Lab employees. Yes. So they kind of, Geoff Johns was hitting at the Metal Men way back in like issue 4.
Interesting.
What Will Magnus was doing and stuff like that. So like that stuff is really neat to read. Reading it again without all the, is this cool? Are these characters like, what is Superman
right
like? Because all that stuff has faded, and to just read it as it is, you know, I really like it. I think it stands out better now.
So you read up to issue 5 of all the series? Is that what you
said? Yeah.
Okay. That last page of Justice League number 5 by Jim Lee is in my possession. Batman, I think, it lands on Apocalypse, and it's just a full page splash of like a very tiny Batman on Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah. That page is in my apartment.
Where'd you get that?
Directly from Jim Lee.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. He puts his original art for sale, and I kind of pounced on that one.
Yeah, that was a good grab.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, I could stop buying original art now.
I'm done.
Yeah, unfortunately that hasn't been the case though.
So speaking of, we were talking about James Robinson's Fantastic Four. The Fantastic Four was announced, a new cast this week.
Yes. Yeah, the for the movie we're talking about here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and Michael B. Jordan confirmed as the Human Torch?
Yeah. Confirmed. And Kate Mara is the Invisible Woman.
I think that's great. I think Kate Mara is a good actress.
So do I. And she's also super hot.
Yep, there's that too.
Yeah, and I also think Michael B. Jordan is a great actor as well.
Oh yeah, he's great. I'm actually watching The Wire for the first time right now, and he was terrific in season 1 of that.
Yeah, is it you who has the theory about how he goes through each thing and he's still his character from The Wire?
Yeah, I'm convinced that Wallace survived season 1 of The Wire and you know, was put in witness protection to Dillon, Texas, and that's where he became Vincent Howard.
Then he moves to California to become Hattie's boyfriend on Parenthood.
And now it'll be interesting to see how Wallace gets superpowers.
Well, it has to be. It'll probably have to do something with time travel, because he could also go back in time for the Red Tails movie that Steven Spielberg made.
That's funny. Yeah, I did read in and some article that this Fantastic Four movie is probably going to be based on the Ultimate Fantastic Four, written by Mark Miller. And I wasn't that big a fan of the Ultimate Fantastic Four comic, so hopefully they do a lot of work on it. And I hope they don't use the name Victor Van Damme for Doctor Doom, which I thought was a terrible...
I didn't read the Ultimate Fantastic Four, but that sounds awful.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if it was Mark Miller or Warren Ellis. I know they both wrote Ultimate Fantastic Four. I don't know who wrote it first.
I want to say Warren Ellis started it.
No, you know what? No, it was Mark Miller started it, and then Warren Ellis, I think, took over afterwards. And I think he's the one who gave Doctor Doom. He thought Doctor Doom was like he thought Victor Von Doom was a silly name, so he named him Victor Van Damme.
Oh.
Yeah, I thought that was stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now this Fantastic Four movie, is this being produced by Marvel Studios, or is it like Fox or somebody else?
No, it's still Fox, and I think isn't Mark Millar overseeing all of that stuff now?
Yeah, I think so.
Which makes sense why it would be based off of his work.
Right, yeah. Because I know he's been on set for the X-Men movies too, and that's Fox also, right?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how they tie all these movies together with all their continuity flaws.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. I wonder if the Fox movies will tie together outside of the X-Men movies. Or do you mean the X-Men movies?
Just the X-Men movies in general, because, yeah, you know, they're tying them together in this latest one, and, you know, it doesn't seem... I mean, I guess they're going to probably explain away all the continuity errors with time travel in some way, like that it changed the time stream or something like that.
Yeah, I think they're just pretending Wolverine Origins didn't happen, because Emma Frost was in that as an adult, and then she was in X-Men Origins, I think, as a teenager, or the other way around.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatchamacallit, Beast is in X-Men 3, and he's like, looks very adult-like back in the 70s, you know, or 60s.
Right.
So I don't know. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of continuity errors. There's a big chart online. It's like an infograph of like all the continuity errors of all the X-Men movies, and they all, except for 1 and 2, they all contradict each other.
That's really funny. 1 and 2 are definitely the two best. Well, 2 is definitely the best one in my opinion.
Oh yeah, mine too. I really enjoyed X2 a lot.
Yeah, I'd probably go X2, then maybe First Class, and then X-Men 1.
Yeah, X-Men 1 is a little slow when you go and rewatch it. But
yeah.
First Class I was happily surprised with.
Yeah. I haven't seen the new Wolverine movie yet. I do want to see that.
I've not seen any of the Wolverine movies.
I don't think you're missing much of the first one. I'm hoping that the second one is better.
Yeah. I heard okay things. So. Yeah.
Now let's see. Yeah, and then, and back to Justice League for a minute, since you're reading Justice League Origin, I guess, is the name of that story, right? The first six issues?
Yeah.
You definitely should watch Justice League War, the new animated movie. It's excellent. It's based on that first storyline from the Justice League New 52 comic, and I think it improves upon it.
How did you like the change from Aquaman to Captain Marvel, or Shazam?
Yeah, I was fine with it, and they do a really good job presenting Billy Batson in the cartoon, and the reason that they changed it is because the next Justice League movie is going to be based on Aquaman. It's going to be pretty much Throne of Atlantis, so they figured to give that more of an impact, they would keep Aquaman out of this story.
Gotcha. Yeah. I mean, I could see that being more volatile if he isn't already part of the Justice League.
Yeah, the scene, there's a scene after the credits in Justice League War, and it sets up the next movie, and it looked really cool.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I just read, you know, 2 days ago, the scene in the Justice League books where Green Lantern's like, and what can you do? And then he had, like, all the sharks eat the parademons, and they stabbed one in the face, you know?
Right.
He was like, okay, never mind. And I was like, that's such a cool scene. That's a bummer that won't be in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Although that might, like, some version of that might make it into a future movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great scene.
Oh, and you know what I've been reading lately is I decided to catch up on Superior Spider-Man. Have you read Superior Spider-Man at all?
Not at all.
It is excellent. And it is paying for basically my Marvel Digital Unlimited subscription. because I read the first 15 issues of that this past week, and it's great. I absolutely love the comic. I want to get caught up before April's Amazing Spider-Man number one, when Superior Spider-Man, I believe, is coming to an end.
Oh yeah, and Peter's back in the suit.
Yeah, yeah. So I would like to get caught up, and I highly recommend this Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited app to everybody, just because it's if you're a Marvel Comics fan, it's totally worth it. They just keep adding new stuff to it, like new books that usually about a half year after they're published, and then also classic Marvel books too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I in the trailers for Monument Men, they were showing they showed X-Men, the new X-Men movie, and the new
Captain America
Spider-Man movie.
Oh, okay, cool.
And so after every trailer, Sarah and I give, you know, the thumbs up, thumbs down, or thumb in the middle, or, you know, yes, no, maybe.
Yeah.
And both Spider-Man and X-Men both got the maybe from Sarah, and I was like, she's like, what should we see? And I was like, well, let's do Spider-Man, because X-Men, you'll have to watch a lot more movies, and they won't all make sense together. And right. I don't even know if this will make sense.
Yeah, well, the last Spider-Man movie I thought was really good, Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. I'm looking forward to this next one.
Yeah, I think it'll be cool. I think both movies are going to be really cool. And Captain America, too. It was a good year for comic book movies.
Yeah. And Guardians of the Galaxy trailer came out.
Oh, yeah. That looks fantastic.
Oh, man. The rocket scenes crack me up.
Yeah, yeah. And Chris Pratt is hilarious in it too.
Yeah, I the way they ended that with the, you know, what a bunch of a-holes.
Yeah.
And, he's yawning, and I said, oh, this. I think they're doing it right, where there's going to be a lot of humor. I feel like it's going to be funnier than any of the Iron Man movies.
Yeah, and that's good, because Iron Man has a lot of humor in it itself.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why I was comparing it
to
Iron Man, is that, you know, like, Iron Man had a lot of humor in that, like, as opposed to Captain America or the Hulk, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how they really deliver on the, like, the spoofiness of the genre, because it feels like they're going to spoof the genre a little bit, but with respect, you know?
Right. It's funny because at New York Comic Con a couple years ago, this is going back like maybe 4 years, I met a fan who really did not like the humor in the Iron Man movies. And that was, he actually was standing next to me. We were just waiting online to like get in with like the big herd of people.
Yeah.
And in like the general like large line to get in. And he's like, Stan Lee's going to be here. And I was like, yeah, I really want to meet him. He's like, I want to punch him in the face. And I was like, why do you want to punch Stan Lee in the face? And he says, because he ruined the Iron Man movie. I'm like, but his cameo? And he's like, no. He's like, they made Iron Man, like, humorous. And, like, Robert Downey Jr. is, like, a comedian. Like, why would you cast him? And I said, I don't really think Stan Lee has anything to do with those movies. And he's like, oh, I'm going to go up to him and, like, give him a piece of my mind and punch him in the face. And I was like, and this is where I stopped talking to this guy.
I don't know him. I do not know him.
Yeah, and he was with, you know, and this wasn't, like, a young, this guy was easily, like, in his 40s or 50s and, like, should have known better, you know?
Yeah.
It was just you encounter some weirdos there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. And as far as I know, Stan Lee was not assaulted at New York Comic Con that year. yeah. So I guess that brings us to the end of the podcast, that riveting Stan Lee story.
Stanley's safe and sound.
Yeah, Stanley is safe and sound. Everybody can rest easy.
Hollywood home? Does he live in Hollywood?
He does live in Hollywood, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although he travels so much, he seems to be at every comic book convention, or at least every big one.
Well, he makes cameos at least.
Yeah, and he's making cameos like in every Marvel movie too. I'd like to see all of Stan Lee's cameos from Marvel movies edited together. Cause
I actually sent you that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I still...
It was on Newsarama like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I don't know how I missed that. I got to check that out.
Yeah, because I thought you put it on Tuesday Night Movies.
No, like I didn't. No, I definitely didn't. I should, though.
Yeah.
Because that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
All right. If I'm going to look for that, and hopefully I'll put it up. I'll actually put that up with this podcast. I'll link to that.
Sounds good. Yeah, it's a YouTube video, so.
All right. Sweet. All right, well, yeah, so everybody, hit up your comic book store or your comic book buying app on Wednesday, download some comics, buy some comics, and check us out next week when we're going to be talking about them.
Yep, talk to you guys next week, true believers.
Excelsior.